It's our time. We must rise up and no longer disparage. It's our time, church, to honor our heritage. We have a Savior. He gave it all on the cross. We stand beside martyrs who counted nothing as loss. They took God's mysteries, opened them up for us. Stephen, John the Baptist, Bonhoeffer, Jan Hus. Surrounded by a cloud of witnesses above, it's now our turn to model his unending love. Our mission is one we cannot confuse, nor muddy up with some trite excuse. You say you're not well-versed, ready, or able. I think Moses even tried to use that fable. The time we have, it's now more urgent. If we should hear, well done, faithful servant. Yeah, church, it's our time. It's our time to confess the ways we're mangled, the sins and selfishness that have us entangled. Lust, greed, and pride, their path leads to the grave. Yet we return to our sins as if we're a slave. Can we survive in this putrid Dead Sea? I quote Paul, may it never be. So let's cast aside our individual leprosy and begin to leave a biblical legacy. There's a glorious prize awaiting to be won, and the way to win is to start to run. Let's lace them up and fight the good fight, become to the world both salt and light. Our life on earth is merely a vapor. Our chapter must move from pen to paper. So church, let's get to writing because it's our time. It's our time, church. We have what it takes to help the world from its slumber awake. To Jesus, we are his beautiful bride. Whom shall we fear with him on our side? We have each other. We are not alone. It's iron to iron in the combat zone. There's a promise of life full of adventure. As long as we give both talents and treasure, the workers are few, the harvest is plenty, with so many lives running on empty. Scores of people trying to cope, they've come to the end of their proverbial rope. Young eyes are wandering, looking for direction. Make sure we point them to his resurrection. The clock's ticking, we're on our dime. Hey church, rise up! It's our time.
Will you stand with me?
Oh my God, he will not delay, my refuge and strength always. I will not fear, his promise is true, my God will come through always. Always. I will not fear the war.
this place today, God's love is far greater than I can explain. I can't explain God's love because it's that great that everyone in this room, with all our faults, with all our sin, with all our dark areas, God's love covers it all. When I start to even grasp how much God's love has covered my life, that He has made new mercies for me, that His grace has made new every day for me, His grace is made new for every day for you, our response in worship. So we sing this chorus out. We sing, "Your love is higher than anything I know. Your love is wider and deeper than anything I know. And it has covered every one of us." Your love is higher. Your love is wider. Your love is covering all of us. Your love is higher. Your love is wider. Your love is covering all of us. Your love is higher. Your love is wider. Your love is covering all of us. So we love God. Your love is higher. Your love is wider. Your love is covering all of us. This morning, that you would give me the heart to understand the love that you have for me, the love that you have for us, that you would send your son, the one who you love the most, to die for me. God, today in this place, I pray that we would honor you, that we would lift voices to you, that we would lift our hands to you, that our being would scream out to you, "Jesus Christ be praised. Jesus Christ be praised. Jesus Christ be praised for all you have done for us. Your greatness, God. The love of Christ." We just understand that. And so as we move on with our worship service and we take the offering today, I also pray, God, that as I was saying, we lift our hands and our voices, Lord, we give back to you. And this is it. God, I don't care about anything else except for your kingdom. That your kingdom come and your will be done. And so, Jesus Christ, everything we do in this place, everything we do as Living Water, everything we do as the church, be about the kingdom. Not about me, not about my selfish desires. I pray that, as Galatians 5 says, Lord, that it be crucified with Christ, dead and gone. And that the kingdom would reign. That your kingdom would reign forever. I pray all this in your name.
To come up here and share something with you as we move into worship, we move into the message. But first and foremost, as we sing this song, Jesus did everything that he did. He gave himself up and he sacrificed and he overcame everything. Why? So he could draw you to the Father, so he could offer eternal life to you. And that's why he did this. And this morning as we worship, will you allow that to be at the center of what we're doing, what Jesus Christ did? But there's often a question that we come to, and it says, what happens when I've chosen to follow Christ? I embrace this truth, but then I don't hold up my end of the bargain. I don't do my end of the deal. I'm not obedient to Christ the way I should. What happens with that? As I think about that, I want you to know something. Your salvation, your new life in Jesus Christ, isn't based on your strength and obedience. It's based on the power of Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead. It's based on him. When I think about Jonah, we're walking through this series together, and I hear Jonah, who hears directly from God and chooses to run another direction, right? And there's a storm, and he gets thrown overboard, and there's a fish that swallows him. In the belly of that fish, Jonah prays a prayer that says, God, I need to come back to you. And then in chapter 3 at the beginning, I want to read you these verses right here, 3:1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah, I don't know what you guys have done in walking away from God or from not being obedient, but none of you have done anything close to what Jonah did. Jonah heard God's voice and he ran the opposite direction. He ran as far as he could run. And what does God do? In those verses that we read, we can go too quickly. God says, I am the God of second chances, Jonah. So, when you don't hold up your end of the bargain, when you don't follow through in what you said you would do, God says, I'm the God of second chances. I will make this right if you will just come back to me. You might say, well, Mark, you don't know what I've done. I don't know what you've done. But you might have a broken marriage. God is the God of second chances. Or you might have an addiction that you said you were going to overcome, but you find yourself drinking again or looking at pornography. God is the God of second chances. Or you might say, I always put myself back in the middle again. I'm selfish. God is the God of second chances. I've thought about suicide. I've attempted suicide. God is the God of second chances. This morning as we worship, that's who we worship. He was the God of second chances for Jonah. He's the God of second chances for us today. And we need to worship him with all of our heart. All authority has been given to Jesus Christ so he can lead us into eternity with himself. Let's sing, all authority, every victory. We say thank you. Thank you so much. Your grace, your mercy, it's new every day. Your love for us. And God, you are the God of second chances. Real quickly, I want to lead you in a prayer of repentance. I feel like we're supposed to do that. God, we come before you and we repent. We turn away from the selfishness and from the self-centered life that we've been living. We turn away from that, God, and we turn toward you because what you have to offer is so great. God, we're sorry. And Lord, we want more of you. We want our lives to honor you, God. Thanks for forgiving us. Make it very real to us, Lord, that we would turn away from what is old and turn toward you. Jesus, thank you that we can do that because of your sacrifice and what you've done for us and your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. God is the God of second chances. And here's the truth. It's not just second chances or else we'd probably be all out of luck, okay? It's third and fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh and tenth and 20th and 100th chances. You see, in our human perspective, we think there's a couple of chances at most. Peter came to Jesus and said, "What if I have a brother who sins against me? He irritates me to death again and again. He does something to me." He said, "Jesus," and I think Peter's thinking he's doing well, "Jesus, should I forgive him up to seven times?" And Jesus says, "No, how about seven times 70? 490, meaning it's limitless." And what's happening there is Jesus is expressing the amount of chances and forgiveness that he offers to us, even when we repeat things. And so we have those. This morning, if you've found some forgiveness or there's some repentance in your life, would you share that with somebody else? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, share that with somebody else. This morning, if you're not a follower of Christ and you want to be, and you turn to God and say, "God, I don't want the old. I want a second chance. I want something new." If you want to follow Jesus Christ, I'd love for you to fill out a follow card that's in the seat underneath the chair. You can give that to the info center or give that to me after the service. We just want to help follow up and help you in this walk that you're committing to. Once you find out about God's grace and his second chances, once you experience it, here's the truth: we want to tell others about it. And the reason that we want to do that is because that's wired within us. It's wired within us when something good happens that we have to tell it. And so my son and daughter and wife went to garage sales at Smithville yesterday. We've never been there. They've never been there before. And they heard they were good, so they went. And as they went through, I'm certain they found some treasures. But Grady, my son who's four, found a treasure. And he comes home. I come home. I was doing something different in the morning. We come home about lunchtime. He goes, Dad, I have something to show you. I'm like, "Cool, what is it?" And he pulls out a pair of boxing gloves already on. He's like, "These are the greatest thing." I mean, he just loves them, right? We even went to a soccer game later that day, and he gets all his soccer stuff on. It's my daughter's game. But he goes, and he's got all of his soccer gear on, and he's got his boxing gloves at the game. He's a confused kid from a violent home is all that we know, right? But it's new, and he just wants to share it and show it. You know, it's almost like if you've grown up in the country at all and had a cat who goes out and catches something during the night, what's he do or she do with that? They bring it home to the front steps, just part of it. They can't bring the whole thing, just part of it. Why? "Look at me, owner. You should be so proud of what I did." When there's something good that's happened, it's natural. We just want to share it. And you know, God wired us for that. And the opposite is true, too. Sometimes the good things God wires us for can be used for not good, and that is, maybe we hear of bad news that's happened to somebody, or we hear a story that's we just have to tell somebody. Why do we gossip? Why do we say things that hurt others? Why do we say things to people that we'd never say to the person if they were there? Because that's what happens when sin gets a hold of this thing. God wants us to share. It can be used for the bad too. But we need to share this. And you know, God gives this message to Jonah and says, "Go." And Jonah runs away from it. Jonah does his own thing. He gets on the boat. The storm comes. They have to throw him off the boat. But there comes a time where Jonah realizes something good has just happened. And where he realizes is when he's in the belly of the fish. And he says this prayer: "You could have left me for dead. You could have let that seaweed be wrapped around my head and sunk all the way to the bottom of the ocean. I could have been there. But you provided this fish to swallow me so that I would be saved." And he says, salvation comes from God. God provided this for me. And all of a sudden, Jonah wakes up to this second chance. And I want to read with you chapter 3 of Jonah, because this is where he comes to a new recognition. So if you would you stand with me? Jonah chapter 3. It'll be on the screen. You can also read out of your Bibles if you want to. Jonah chapter 3. "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. And Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day Jonah started into the city, he proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation to Nineveh. By the decree of the king and the nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent with compassion, turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. And when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. Thanks, you can be seated. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh back in chapter 1. He doesn't go because he knows something about God. God is not a God of judgment and condemnation and punishment. Will that happen? Will God judge at the end of time? Will he judge us at the end of our lives? Yes. But he realizes God is a God of compassion, love, and he wants to pursue us. He wants us. When Jonah experiences this for himself, now in chapter 3, he's willing to go and share this message. God's the God of second chances. As I think about what God did with Jonah, a question comes to my mind that I want to give to you now. Really, it's the question I ask this day of you. Just as God instructed Jonah to go, the question for you is, where are you called to go? Because you've, majority of this room, if you profess Christ, if you believe in Jesus Christ, then you've experienced a second chance, third chance, fourth chance. And you know what? Just like Jonah was called to go somewhere and deliver this message, just as he goes to Nineveh, so you're called to go. You look through Scripture, you see Abraham and Joshua, you see Moses, Isaiah, and the list could go on and on. God calls them to go. Matthew 28, Jesus, some of Jesus' final words, he says to the disciples, go and make disciples as you are going. We're called to go. It's not a new concept, but I believe it's one we continue to wrestle with. And so I ask you today, where are you called to go? When I say that, I would ask that you don't run to an illusion, right? I have to go to this far off place and do this huge thing. You know, I'm worried that half of you feel like you're called to go to China and the other half feel you have to go to Africa right now. Don't do that. Don't go there. Not that he wouldn't call that. Where are you called to go? Because when we think about the big things, I have to do this or this or this, we can sometimes forget what God has called us to do or where to go, what's right in front of us today. For the huge majority of you in this room, I could tell you today, without a shadow of a doubt, I can tell you the Lord's will for you and where you're called to go tomorrow morning. Just write down for me your schedule, work, school, what you have to do, stay home, teach the kids, whatever you have on the schedule tomorrow. I can tell you confidently, that is where you're called to go tomorrow morning to be life and truth and to share God's message. That's where you're called to go. Jesus shared a message about the talents or bags of gold. They were given large sums of money that was very valuable. One had one bag and one had three bags and one had five bags. And they were supposed to go and invest that. They were supposed to go and invest what they had with what they knew to do in that time and that moment. And they were rewarded for that. Only one wasn't rewarded. Which one, right? The one who does nothing. I can tell you, you are called tomorrow to go and do that thing that's on your agenda to do. Now, here's what can happen, though, with our agenda, with our schedule for tomorrow. I feel like I had an opportunity, and I was supposed to take this opportunity to coach girls soccer, 9 and 10-year-olds, okay? And so I'm coaching 9 and 10-year-old girls, and unfortunately, most of my girls, at least half, have never played outdoor soccer before. And somehow they put us in a league where I'm pretty sure the girls have been playing since birth, okay? And somehow they're all bigger than us. It happens like that all the time. And so I'm coaching this league, and I'm doing my best with it, and I took this league on because I wanted to invest in girls who are my daughter's age and maybe have some influence in families, right? But I find myself on the sidelines, and I'm coaching this thing, and there's a girl out there, it's like this. And I'm like, I won't even say her name. Jill, where's the ball? Over there. You're on defense. Go get it. You know, and my blood's starting to boil. And what I've learned to do to try to cover this, because I'm a pastor, right? Try to cover this is my blood starts to boil. I said, go get the ball. Great job. I always finish with an encouragement. What's happening with that? What's happening is I'm forgetting why I'm coaching soccer. And it's to speak life into them. It's to be a part of what they're doing. And so the first game, we lost 8-0. I thought, oof. In soccer, in football, that's like 72-0, okay? And then the second one was 4-1. I'm like, okay, good. Yesterday was like 10-1. So I don't know what's happened with it. You can pray for me. But here's why I tell you that story, because it's easy to take the things that we've chosen to do, school and work and all these different things, and all of a sudden we forget that we're called to go in the midst of that, right? So where are you called to go? Here's maybe a more specific question. Where is your Nineveh? Okay, so tomorrow, I can say with beyond a shadow of a doubt what the will of God is for you. You need to go and walk through your day. But in the middle of that day, What's your Nineveh? What's a part of that day? What's somebody in that day that you're supposed to go to and speak life into and be a part of investing in them? It might be something where you just encourage and you speak life, you love them. It might be something where you need to share some truth or something that's harder. If it is, I would encourage you to be slow to do that. Ask somebody else. Make sure you confirm the things that you're supposed to say the best that you can. But you need to, where's your Nineveh? It might even be to somebody tomorrow who you consider to be your enemy or who always gives you a hard time, because that's Jonah's story. Jonah ends up going to Nineveh to give a compassionate message of God that they can be saved, and those are his enemies. He didn't want to. So where's your Nineveh today? Where are you called to go, and where's your Nineveh? And just allow the Lord to speak to you in those. Now, the next thing I think that can happen as we say, okay, I'm called to go somewhere. I've got Nineveh. I need to do this. One of our next questions is, what do I say? What do I say with this? What? You know, look for a second at what Jonah said. He just had some great words, right? I mean, all he said in chapter 3, verse 4 is, on the first day Jonah started in the city, he proclaimed 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. That's just a message of wisdom and awesomeness and everything else, isn't it? It's just a simple message. There's not even much to it. But he proclaims that message. And I want to tell you this, when you go, and when you find this Nineveh, when you know there's a part of life you need to speak life into, it's more important who you are, right, than what you would say. So more important than your words, it's who you are as you go. So I can do my best to cover up my boiling blood in soccer with great job at the end of the phrase, but here's the truth. I need to be somebody who I really do see improvement, and I see good things in those girls. I have to keep turning to that. More important than my words is simply who I am. Jonah was running from God. He ran from God. He couldn't go to Nineveh, not just because he ran the other way, because he wasn't ready. You see, he had to show up in Nineveh as a prophet of God. That's who he was. That was his identity, a prophet from God. And when you go to work tomorrow, when you go to school, when you go home, when you go to the library, whatever your list is, you need to go as a son or daughter of God who's speaking on behalf of the King of the universe. Different, isn't it? What if the person at the library kind of has your books thing messed up and finds you something you didn't need fine for? You know what I'm saying? Has that ever happened to you? You owe this? No, I don't. Don't worry about your fine. Think about yourself as you're a son or daughter of the King who's speaking for this King of the universe. More important than your words, it's who you are. And God will do great work through you, right? Jonah takes this message into this town. 3 days to walk across it is how big it is, 120,000 people. A huge, huge town for ancient times. It says every single person receives this message. And they turn from what they were doing to something new. In fact, it says the king said, we need to give up our violence. If you remember, Assyrians and Nineveh, extremely violent people. He put his finger right on what needed to change. How did this happen? How did it happen? I don't know that Jonah's words were the greatest. I'll tell you what happened is God prepared the ground for it. God had gotten it ready, and that's going to happen in your life as well. As you are obedient, here's how I think things line up. As you are obedient, God will line things up so you can speak the right words at the right time in the right place. That's what Jonah did. That's what he lines up for us. Don't worry so much about what it is you have to say. You know what? You get in conversation with somebody, I'll give you a couple hints. Talk about them, because you know what your favorite subject is? You know what my favorite subject is? Myself. Just start talking, ask them questions about them. Speak some life. Be with them, and God will line things up. Now, sometimes you will know it. You'll be like, man, we started talking about this really important thing, and I could just see that it was valuable. You'll know it sometimes. Other times, you won't. There are some of you in here who have said things to me that have brought transformation into my life, and I don't think that you know it. And there's been things that I've said that bring transformation into your life, and I don't know it. And that happens on a regular basis as well. God's the one who's lining this all up. Let's just be obedient with it. The Holy Spirit wants to take the moments that we give him, transform into something good. You know, we can run away, and we can say, I don't know, or I don't know what's happening, or you can let God use it. I would want to add this. I'm making a big push on the fact that going is everyday life, absolutely. But I also want you to know that sometimes going is something new as well. And so if there is something big that's God's calling you to, fantastic, we'll work through that. But sometimes there's something new right inside of your ordinary life, right? Right inside of everyday things. I had somebody come up to me on Monday morning. I was having breakfast down at Kindertown and Country, and she came up to me and said, "Mark, you know what? There's just this opportunity that God's put in front of me that I know that he's bringing to me, and I'm getting started in it, and it's amazing." And her face was just, it was just lit up. She was on fire for this, and I said, "Well, tell me about it." And she said, "Well, there's a house in the community that's specifically set up for women from conservative or Amish-type backgrounds who've been abused, or manipulated, or just really used. And they're trying to escape this abuse and come into some freedom and understand who God is in new life. There's this house for them that they can live in. And they need people to be there with them and walk through it." And she said, "I'm going to do that." She was just excited. It was someplace new for her to go. But as she did that, she said, "You know what? And this suits me perfectly." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Because I grew up like that. I grew up in the Amish tradition. And it was a perfect setup for her. And it brought life to her. And you know what? She's not worried about what she's going to have to say. She just knows she wants to be obedient, and God's going to line some things up for her." Why does she care to do this? You know, why do we care to do this? Why do we want to see people's lives changed? Because it's an honor. We get the honor of walking beside people and allowing them stories of new life. We have the honor of being a part of somebody else's story of new life. We get to do that. Jonah goes to Nineveh, and here's the truth. God could have changed Nineveh's heart. It could have changed all the people in Nineveh by himself. He could have just done this. But it doesn't happen until Jonah shows up. Why? Because God, over and over again in Scripture, gives us this principle. He wants us to be part of the story of people's lives changing, because it's part of our story. We get the honor. And sometimes I think we feel like it's an obligation to speak of God, or an obligation, we better do this or God might be mad. No, God loves you, God loves you, he loves you, and he wants you to be sharing what you're experiencing and learning, and it really is an honor. As I look at this, I just want to take quickly the response. What's the response of the people in Nineveh, the king of Nineveh? They repent. What's that mean? It simply means we're not doing stuff God's way. We want to do stuff God's way. The king very much says, get rid of the violence. And when they decide to do this and they humble themselves, God's response, if you have your Bibles open, 3:10. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. God's response to repentance is always his compassion. And when you get an opportunity to help be the catalyst for that to help happen in somebody else's life, it's more valuable than just about anything else that we can do. As I think about this story of Jonah, and I think about this chapter over and over again, where are we called to go? I want you to think about what that means for you personally. I had somebody after first service come up to me and say, "Thanks for speaking this message today, because tomorrow morning I start a brand new job, a whole bunch of new challenges, and I felt like that's what I was supposed to be doing. Thanks for speaking this message." For you personally, what's this mean? Where are you called to go? Where's your Nineveh? Keep thinking on that. Talk back and forth with people. But beyond where are we supposed to go personally, you know what? Something that we forget is we're not just a whole bunch of individuals who show up here. We're a body. We're together. And I want to talk for just a few moments about what it means for us as a church to go somewhere. Where are we called to go? Maybe you know this, but ever since the church started 27 years ago, however long it was, they decided that 10% of everything that was given on a Sunday would always be tithed and be given to an outreach or given to somebody somewhere who would help lead people to Jesus Christ. And so we've been doing that ever since. And so now that means for us, we give about $100,000 away each year. And as we've been doing that over time, at one point this team of people was called the Missions Team. That's a fine name. And then we moved it to Cross-Cultural Resource Team, which is CCRT, which I have to explain every time I say. So I said, let's change that. And this is the Living Water Outreach Team that I want to share with you. And I want to share with you our Living Water Outreach Partners, those that we come alongside and we say, how can we help you accomplish some great things? I want to say this too, that those you'll see on this screen are those that we're funding on a regular basis and consistently. And it's only part of what they need, but we regularly fund what's happening in ministry. There are also many other great outreach opportunities or outreach things that come out of this congregation, teams of people and individuals. So please know, I just want to share with you this morning those that we fund. So I just want to run through this. Make sure you pick up this magazine as you go out the door, because this edition is all about Living Water Outreach. And in the connection point, you'll see some boards in there and some opportunities, some cards that you can pick up with each of these Living Water Outreach partners on them. So here's the first one. As a congregation, what do we do to go? After the storm, Gary and Barb Snyder lead this. Gary one day is saying, why don't we have a group of people that when there's a disaster in this region, in the eastern part of the United States, that we can't just pick up and go and help those folks? And so that's what he began. He's got it so that he's got equipment, so if whoever is able can just go the day after or the next few days after. They also plan some longer trips for rebuilding things. He works with Samaritan's Purse on a regular basis, and whenever he comes home, he always tells me the same story, so I know this is his passion. And the story is, here's the house that we finished, and we got to present that family with the Bible, and then we prayed a prayer of blessing over that home before we left. And some of those stories he'll tell me, and you know what? That person who owns that home, that family, they decided in that moment to give their lives to Christ, because people who are followers of Christ, for no other reason than that they love God and they love those people to come and do that work. And so they give their lives to Christ, and I love what's happening there. Here's another one, Access Ministries. It is Nick and Amanda Gerber. And Nick and Amanda are part of an organization in Colorado that is really working with teenagers and those in their 20s. We live in a culture now where there isn't absolute truth, where you don't just go, man, that's the Bible. Maybe there's some truth in that. They're figuring out, how do we communicate? How do we relate? How do we get this all-time great message to people when they're not believing that there is any truth? And they're working through what that looks like, and they educate parents, and they're designing some things, and I think they're on part of this revolution of helping us understand how do we reach people who don't believe in any kind of a truth. Friendships Unlimited, or there's Nelson and Jen Hicks work on these boats. It's a friendship boat. And basically, as they work on these boats go into every port that's needed, where there's an epidemic or there's a disaster or there's an earthquake, and they provide medical care and they provide the things that are needed in that moment. Nelson and Jen are actually part of like an organization that helps man that ship or run that ship. And by the way, they're so busy being missionaries, all they could give us was a wedding picture, apparently. So, but that's what we have on their card for now. But love what they're doing as part of us reaching out. The next one's Go Forth Ministries with Wendell Martin. And Wendell's been a part of Living Water for a long time. Some of you may know him. And maybe the best way, since he's not here this morning, I can pick on him. He was about a 20-something-year-old hippie about 30 years ago, right? And he's this hippie who hears the message. It's a typical, what we might call, missionary story. It says, go to China. So he just leaves everything and he goes. And God puts A and B and C together. You should hear some of his stories about how God's worked. And now he's a part of, he lives here most of the time. He travels there. He's a part of getting Bibles into China for those who need it desperately, because there's still persecution there. He also oversees a lot of churches that have been started there. And you will hear from him. If you want to hear interesting stories, he's your guy to go to. He has many that he can tell you. Another organization, another group from Living Water that we partner with is Hearts of Hope for Honduras. And Cam and Chris Rowley, and what they do down there is they got a vision or a picture for these young ladies who were finishing up kind of their high school education, and they had no family structure, nobody to turn to. And really, as they finished high school, there's no work. And so where do these young women go? They go into the arms of willing men who will take them in. And it's usually not out of goodwill. It's usually out of what they can use those young ladies for. And so the vision for this is, can we provide a place where they can receive further education and a place that's stable where they don't have to run to the arms of these men? And a part of what's happening in that too is, in Honduras, the culture is heavily Catholic. And it's a religious Catholicism that really, the Jesus that we understand, they don't. And so they're allowing these girls to experience and get to know who Jesus Christ is as well. Another partnership, and this is new this year, is the Seed Company. Dan Hostetler and I, who has been part of our Living Water Outreach for a long time, went to a conference, and there was a speaker, his name was Bob Roberts, and he's been all over the world, stories are amazing, and he looked at the group of people and he said, the Great Commission is going to be fulfilled in 10 years. Are you going to be a part of it? At that moment, what struck me was, how do we help get the gospel? How do we get God's words to people groups that don't have it? And the seed company, what they do is they find people within these small people groups yet that don't either have a written language or God's word in their language, and begin to train them to translate the Bible into their language. We're partnering with the seed company, with a small village in Mexico, not village, but region. And as we do that, as we partner with them, they're able to supply what the translators need to get the word of God to them. And as a result, in a couple of years, in our partnership, there'll be a celebration. Here's the gospel that you've never been able to read before in your own language. It's yours. The next two, I affectionately call Truckers for Jesus. I always forget their name, Transport for Christ, but I love what's happening. Have any of you been in here a trucker before? I was one for 3 months one time, right? And we stopped at some truck stops and my eyes were opened. And I value deeply mobile chapels, places where truckers can find truth or find help when they need it. And that's what Gary and Pearl Nussbaum do, and Jason and Shannon Nussbaum, the next slide, will be. Gary is a regional director where he's trying to get these things happening in all the truck stops, and Jason specifically is looking after Lodi. But they are bringing the gospel of Christ to a group of people that often are overlooked. Kwa and Tam Dinh, and they're so busy doing what they do, they don't really have a name for their ministry. So we just named it the Vietnamese Ministries. But actually, Kwa was found by Wendell Martin in Go Forth when he first went over. Long story there that's absolutely astounding. And Kwa was a part of Living Water for several years. Now he's gone back to Vietnam. And I'll just tell you a couple things. One is, as he's working in Taiwan with Vietnamese people, they're refugees, and often they'll come and work in a factory in Taiwan. And when they work in that factory, they're stuck in that facility, probably 800 or 1,000 of them. They work there, they sleep there, they eat there. They really can't leave that facility. They're stuck. And somebody who runs one of those came to know Kwa and said, Kwa, would you bring your message of hope into the factory? And so he had services there, a couple different ones. And almost every single factory worker came to those services where he shared truth. And at the end of one day, 300 Vietnamese people living in Taiwan gave their life to Jesus Christ. It was awesome. Kwa right now is raising up churches. And as he does this, he isn't able to meet with everybody. They can't travel very well. So by cell phone, he meets with the church leaders every night. And he usually has 3 meetings a night, an hour apiece, where he teaches them about who Jesus is, and then they go and teach their church. So 3 meetings a night, an hour each, and he does that 6 or 7 nights a week, depending. That's how many leaders he's raising up to take this message of Christ. And finally, I want to share with you Ryan Farrell, who is a leader at a YWAM base. Youth with a Mission is an incredible organization that pushes out and trains young people, usually people in their 20s or so. I must be getting old. I just called them young people. Who they train them to serve and to go and to raise up missionaries. Ryan's currently working on the base, creating that environment where they can train and raise people up. Now, I share with you those pretty quickly. I wanted you to be familiar with them. I want you to know that we fund those, but we partially fund it, and they rely on personal gifts and people to get involved with them to really make these things happen. And so my challenge to you in that end would be, as you give here, it goes to them, but would you also, would you have, as your regular, besides your regular giving here, would you have at least one group or mission, whether it's one of these or anybody else, that you would give to on top of what you're giving here to support what's happening? And you might say, well, man, I got $20 a month. Some of the budgets for some of the people that we just looked at, one that I talked to recently said, hey, my monthly budget's $700. When it's that, $20, $25 makes a huge difference in what's happening. And as we look at that, that's a way that Living Water goes. Okay, but there's a second way that I want to talk about Living Water going. Because there's this huge temptation to say, hey, here's a couple dollars, you go and do your thing, right? You go take care of that. Living Water as a church, there's no question in my mind that God's asking us to take the good things that happen here, what he's doing in our lives, and we need to expand it and multiply it. And as we've talked about this, I mentioned in January, and I mentioned it every so often, I believe that God is calling us to become a multi-site church. Not just send somebody to plant a church, but we become one church, one body, one staff, one leadership team in a couple of different locations. So that today there's 3 services here in Dalton, but I'm hoping soon there'll be 5 services, 3 here, 2 somewhere else. As we look at that, the Lord's really been kind of pulling us, as I talk with people, toward Maslin, toward that area. And it doesn't matter to me if things end up like what I'm kind of starting to think about right now. All I know is God is calling us to multiply ourselves beyond what we have today. And I want to share with you a really clear next step of how we're going to investigate this. On Friday, I had met with a guy named Ray, and he mentioned something to me, just a side note of a conversation. I said, that's it. You've talked to me about this before, and I forgot, but this is it. And here's our next step. Is in Massillon, there's a huge event, the Massillon Car Show, and if you can put a picture up of all the folks who come to this, there's like 100,000 people who show up at this. And Ray said, I would love to have a church or somebody come along and help us create the environment here of taking care of this and just making a fantastic event. And I said, Ray, we'll do that. Because that's going to be our next step in serving and figuring out, are we connecting with this community? God, is this where you're calling us to go? There's some trash detail. There's some hospitality stuff we need to do. I would love to recruit people who would go to the car show on purpose just to walk around and pray and just ask God, is this for us, God? You know, and just pray. And I look at that picture, and Jesus was looking out at the crowd, and he said something. He looked out at the crowd and he said, I see a crowd that's helpless and harassed like sheep without a shepherd. He looked at his disciples and said, would you ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers? And I look at that picture, and I want you just to think for a moment, how many people in that crowd are lost and harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd? And I look at Living Water and what we've got and who we are. And we can't just say to those people, hey, there's a good church over in Dalton, you should come over. We need to go there. And we need to figure out how to share good news with them. But that's our next step. And I want you to know, if that tugs on your heart at all, there's a sign-up sheet out by the info center. It says Exploring Multi-Site up on the wall right there. I want you to sign up. And we'll figure out. It's June 15th. It's like 7 weeks away. Clear your schedule out for that. Be a part of what God's doing in the move of God. As the worship team heads up this way, I want to go back to the original question. Where are you called to go? I shared with you a little bit about where Living Water's called to go and who we support and what we're going to do as a church, and we're going to become a multi-site campus. And again, I just want to share with you, I don't know exactly what that looks like. This is a time where we're looking and searching, but I know we're going to do something. And I know we're going to expand beyond what we are here. I want to come back to the original question, where are you called to go? And I'd like to show you a picture that I love. It makes me smile because my friend Steve came up to me and said, hey, could I do this? See, Steve started coming about 10 weeks ago or so, or maybe longer, 12 weeks ago. And when we had our New Life Sunday, he was baptized. And he said, I just want to proclaim my faith. I want to make sure my family knows. I want to take this step. And about a week later, he came back and said, hey, I've got this. Go ahead and put it up. I've got this race car, and I'd like to put the church logo on the front hood. And I said, no, you're not allowed to do that. You can't do that. Just kidding. What's happening here is somebody who's a race car driver. And I don't know why the Lord didn't call me to do that on the side, but he didn't. So I hunt turkeys and do different things like that. But this is what he's doing. And he said, you know what? I go to this track every week and I invest money in this hobby and it's something that I just feel so connected to. How can I take what I'm doing and plug into it truth and life? And one of the ways to do that is to promote a church that's all about new life and life change. And so that's what he does. I don't know how many people ask him about the car or what that's about, but every week he's circling the track. I'm praying for first place every time so that whatever. Steve, you can get first place. All right. Actually, he told me, we had this whole thing lined up. We're excited. He said, can I bring the car? I'm like, yeah, come on in. So is it still raining out? So not only is it raining out, but he wrecked last night or Friday night into the wall, right? But we're making it. You know, it doesn't always go as you plan, but here's the deal. Where are you going? What are the things that you do? What's your schedule tomorrow? How do you plug the transformational power of Jesus Christ into that? I'll tell you first and foremost, just be who he's called you to be. Let the conversations come. Take advantage of opportunities as they arise. We're called to go. Where are you going to go? What's it look like? What's it look like? As we respond this morning, I'd like you to stand with me. Would you stand? I want to pray with you. God, you've called us to go. Just like you said to Jonah to go and all the other folks in Scripture, you called them to go. You say that to us too. And God, we don't always get it right, but we're not going to stop. We want to continue to learn to go, to follow you, to walk after you. Show us what it looks like tomorrow and this week. If there's something new you're calling us to, reveal that into our lives. Thank you. Jesus, we're yours. In your name.
Part of the story in Jonah chapter 3 is the last verse. It says, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. God used Jonah to change hearts back towards him. Jonah was obedient, so the people listened and they got to receive new life that day. God saved me from my own destruction. And if you have professed faith in Jesus Christ, he has done the same for you. Now reach out to the people who are far from God and give them that same hope in Jesus Christ that you have. If God's been speaking to you today and you want to share it with someone, I'd encourage you to come up to the front right side of the stage. I know that there are people who would love to pray and encourage you this morning. Just a couple quick announcements. Make sure you go out to the Info Center and check out the upcoming adult classes. We have one that's specifically for those who are newer to Living Water and would like to learn more about our vision, our values, and who we are as a church. It's called Discover Living Water. The other one is called Prodigal God. You can sign up again at the Info Center for those. Remember, on your way out, pick up a Living Water magazine. One copy per family would be great. If you didn't get a chance, check out the outreach boards in the connection point and pick up our Living Water Outreach Partner cards as well. Next week, we're going to continue our series in Jonah. I'd encourage you to read up on chapter 4 so you're prepared for next week. We'll see you then. Have a great week.